Another year, another failed process. Well, Doc Rivers joined the latest list of fired coaches today on Hoop Talks. I'm Nur Zainab, Justin Pooney, Karina Mustafa, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, and today we're here to celebrate the demise of Philadelphia.
Whoa.
I don't know what's celebrating.
I am celebrating. Round of applause, everybody, for the Celtics. Jason Tatum, 51 points. You
guys,
did it.
Haters,
never seen
haters.
Someone.
Haters.
Man, I'm not done my monologue. Never seen someone fight so hard to hit the basement in their own talent pool and then come right out and grab their team from the binoculars.
Binoculars.
Maybe not binoculars.
Binoculars,
maybe something else. But grab their team by the horns and brings them out to a victory.
Do
over
the. By the collar?
Yeah, by the collar.
Binoculars.
Yeah, the binoculars.
I don't know what we're talking about.
If you grab binoculars, they like have like the string around you, they'll just rip off.
Okay, we have like 15 minutes. Let's not go over my English right now, okay? Yeah. Anyway, they beat the MVP, Joel Embiid. Not my MVP. I'm going to say that one more time on here. But guys, the process has been going on for the past 10 years. Actually, this year is their 10-year anniversary of starting the process. And what have they to show for it? A bunch of second rounds, but maybe a couple Eastern Conference semifinals, but not one appearance in the Eastern Conference final. So, Jelani, I'm going to start off with you. Why hasn't the process worked?
Well, I don't know, because at this point, you'd expect them to do something come playoff time, right? That was the goal. The goal was for them to win a championship under, you know, Joel Embiid. Of course, they had Ben Simmons at the time, but it's still possible, right? We don't know what the future holds. But at this point, you have to be disappointed with their effort in Game 7, okay? Yes, I had the Boston Celtics winning the series. You were Boston Celtics, Noor. So congratulations on that. I also believe Jason Tatum gave us one of the best performances ever. That was such a great game he played. He did not miss any shots. He was 60% from the field and downtown. But when you're talking about the Sixers, man, I look at Joel Embiid. Okay, you guys know me and that whole Jokic Embiid thing, right? But I was kind of disappointed with the guy. You know, you come up on the road, right, and only give me 15 points. That's not, yeah, 50. That was disappointing, man, honestly. And the way that he and Harden, right, did not stop the bleeding in that third quarter. Third quarter outscored 33-10. You cannot have that. You cannot have that in a do or die game. Harden, 9 points? Come on, man. Really? Really? I know he's focused on Houston. Okay, that seems to be where he wants to go. He's focused on Houston. It seemed like it, right, the other day, because he wasn't playing. To me, I saw him very passive. I don't know what it was, but especially in that third quarter, when you needed to score, this guy's always kicking it out. He had opportunities, maybe just a quick jumper, a quick floater, you know, push shot. No, he kept kicking it out for a bad look. And I was disappointed in Harden, honestly, because we saw the good James Harden and we saw the bad. So that's what we get with him. So I just, overall, you look at Doc Rivers too, I don't know. The process has not worked.
Yeah,
clearly.
And for me, their duo, Embiid and Harden, combined for 8 of 29 from the field on an elimination game. If you want to win, you're not going to go anywhere with that. So, Justin and Karina, to both of you, I want to ask you guys, does this say more about Philly, this loss, or more about the Celtics being a good team?
It's tough, right? Because it feels like with the 76ers, they get so close and they're never able to close it out. I think this series was probably like the closest it's been for them in a while. And yeah, like the Celtics were good. Like that performance from Jason Tatum was very much needed for them to succeed. So I think it was a mixture of like the 76ers, no matter what adjustments they were trying to make, it was not working. Yeah. And in the end, the Celtics ended up just running away with it, which was a bit disappointing. So I think it's a mixture of both, honestly. I think it's a mixture of the Celtics being good when it mattered and the 76ers not showing up when they needed to.
The Philadelphia 76ers and the whole process has been an absolute failure. It's been a failure. You think about it. The best player they drafted.
That's a trigger word in the NBA now.
That's a failure. Yeah, I know. Then now we'll watch. Hey, Nike, you want to give me an ad for saying the word failure? Please do. But when you look at all the draft picks, the Nerlens Noels, the Ben Simmons, the Markel Fultz, the list goes on and on. The best player they got out of all of that was Joel Embiid, right? They could have Jason Tatum. People forget that. They traded up to number one to draft not Jason Tatum, not even Lonzo Ball. Markelle Fultz. And he's done a great. Hey,
he was nice at Washington, though.
He was. I saw him and Lonzo play at Washington.
I still would have taken
it. And I think, look, I still would take it. Exactly. Yeah. Markelle turned his career around in Orlando, but it all goes back to me to that game seven in Toronto, the Kawhi shot. That to me was the best moment they had to get through. That was the best Philadelphia team. That team should have won the
game. That was their best shot.
That was the best team they've had. And ever since then, it's just been getting perpetually worse. They choked against Atlanta in Game 7 at home, which was horrible. Last night, they didn't even show up in Boston.
Yeah.
Just did not show up. And look, the regular season MVP, the MVP is a regular season award. Joel Embiid deserved the MVP of the regular season, but this playoffs did not show up. You are the MVP, right? And one thing, I was listening to a lot of post-game stuff. Shaq always said that if you are the guy, you have to elevate your game in the playoffs. If you average 30 points in the play and in the regular season, you got to average 33 to 35 in the playoffs.
Scoring champion, right?
Right? Mm-hmm. I didn't see that from Joel Embiid. Once again, James Harden came up flat in his face. Doc Rivers is holding on to that 2008 title that the big three got him like it's dear life, because that's the only thing he's known for now.
Before you get to
other
Doc
than choking
Rivers,
leads and stuff like that.
Before you get to the choking and the Doc Rivers, I want to actually segue into that, because Doc Rivers is going to have a pretty, I want to say, entertaining summer, a little confusing summer, probably the most stressful summer of all the coaches out there, because he's the one coach that has actually blown three separate 3-1 leads. He also has the most closeout losses in NBA playoff history, 32 losses in 49 games. So how much of this falls on Doc Rivers? And is Doc Rivers the next one out the door in the NBA head coach's race right now?
I mean, you got to look at it and look at what he's done since getting there. I think even when he got hired, I think it was kind of a surprise, right? Because he had just failed in LA with the Clippers. So, and he got hired quickly after that. But I look at this situation and, you know, Justin talked about the failure, right? With the Sixers. I truly believe he's got to go, man. I'm not going to put it all on him, but at this point, you're looking at the last few years. This was the clearest path. This might have not have been the best team that the Sixers have had, because I think the 2019 version was better than this, but the path was easier, because 2019 they would have met up with MVP Giannis in the conference finals. It would have been tough than the Warriors.
A younger this, Giannis,
yeah, right here though, what you get Miami. Yes, Jimmy Butler, he's balling, but still, right, there's a path there, and then you never know what could happen after that. You still got the MVP on your team. So Doc Rivers, to me, he's failed too many times, man. I feel bad for the guy at this point. I really do. Because I would think, you know, he would get over that hump. It's been so long, right? And even with the Sixers as a franchise, they've been waiting since 2001, I think, was the last time they went to the conference finals. I mean, at this point, I don't know who they're going to bring in, though. That's the other thing. Sorry. That's the other thing. Yeah, I'm trying to. You have to. Whenever you say, okay, I want a new coach, who's going to be that guy, right? Yeah. You can't always just say, okay, let's put in a new guy, a new voice in this locker room. You have to make sure that it's a good voice and somebody that can actually coach. Because I think Doc is good, but he just can't get it done.
My question surrounding all this is, like, how much of it is on the coach and how much of it is on the players? Because the coach, I think Doc Rivers was still making adjustments within the game, but if your players can't actually execute on those adjustments, then whose fault does that end up being? And I think with the 76ers is, like, it feels like they've had their window closing for a bit now. The players are good, but, like, what do they need to do to take that next step and execute in the games they need to? Because honestly, I think a lot of us were worried that the Celtics were going to lose this series, but now look what happened.
My heart was in my throat the entire series. I was like,
I actually didn't have any doubt that they would win the series. Even when they won that game, game five, when Embiid was balling, right? I still felt like the Celtics were going to win the series.
I picked Sixers in seven, right? But this series was lost in game six in the fourth quarter when Jason Tatum went off.
It's true.
It was over then.
And remember, Embiid took no shots.
No shots.
And that's your MVP? Okay, cool.
Joel Embiid, I'm tired of Joel Embiid playing on the perimeter.
I've been saying that for years.
You are that big. You are that strong. Bully people.
I've been saying that for
years.
Get
in the paint.
He does bully people already.
But like, yes, Doc Rivers deserves a lot of the blame, right? But at the end of the day, the players themselves have no accountability on grabbing. We heard Joel Embiid post-game too. Zero accountability.
Yeah.
You are the MVP of the NBA, right? The league voted you the most valuable player. And you had a chance to close out the Boston Celtics at home with their best player, Jason Tatum, shitting the bed in a major way.
For pretty much most of the series.
Exactly.
Until the very
end. For the entire series, right? and then you don't close them out on your home court, and then you go back to Boston and you no-show. Quite frankly, for me, yeah, Doc Rivers has some blame, but a lot of it's got to go on these players. They did not show up when it mattered the most. They did. They turtled.
Yep.
And the Boston Celtics' best player was the best player on the court last night, and it...
Yeah, I know. I saw people talk about Joel's postgame and say, well, there's context. There's context. All I saw was him say, I played great, so did James Harden. Where are the other people? And I'm like, did you see PJ Tucker in the first quarter? Did you see Tyrese Maxey the entire series? Did you even have a look at Tobias Harris? Like, everybody came through, but as a main guy, you got to hold a little bit of accountability, a little bit of self-awareness, maybe.
That's the problem, though. When PJ Tucker's going off, I think that's when we knew that he wasn't winning.
I also want to talk real quick about Tobias Harris. I think this series, he was really disappointing. If he showed up in some type of way, they would have had a better chance. He didn't really do much.
Honestly. Do you guys find it's the touches? Like, what's up with that team? Because when Embiid wasn't there, you saw so much more ball movement. Everybody was a little bit involved. So, and obviously, Embiid coming back, he, as he should, draw the attention, demand the ball and everything. But I almost find it kind of shuts the other guys off. But we'll talk about that as a different day. On to stay on the subject of Doc Rivers, though, he, again, like I said, he might be joining a bunch of other coaches. I think this NBA summer is going to be the free agency of coaches, actually. It's going to be, we already saw Nick Nurse as a part of it. Mike Budenholzer, Monty Williams just got let go. From the Suns, and we, like I said, we might be seeing Doc Rivers. Thankfully to Dwayne Casey, though, he did go up a ladder in terms of just not getting let go.
Yeah,
that's a win for Dwayne. Gets a win. Come on now, front office, the Brad Stevens type of move. That's a win.
In Detroit,
but. Of all the new coaches who are now coming to fruition, and we know that they're going to be available, someone like Mike Budenholzer, maybe even Monty Williams, Doc Rivers, if he's available, is any of those coaches something that you could see work out in Toronto once the new season begins, or Masai trying to, like, get them on board?
I mean, if I'm Masai, I'm throwing all the money I can at Monty Williams.
Hell yeah.
If I'm Masai, look, I'm calling Monty Williams every day. Please, please, whatever it takes, we will write you a blank check. Please come and coach here, right?
That's the first time I've heard
that to me was the most shocking thing. Yeah. Monty Williams getting let go, because I think Monty Williams is a very good coach.
He's a good coach, right? But at the same time, like, I love him. But at the same time, there were issues with his, you know, with his management on the court and stuff like that. But he was, you know, made to be the scapegoat in this situation. Exactly. It wasn't his fault that the Suns
DeAndre
were,
Ayton is probably one of the biggest busts in NBA history, right?
Okay,
Chris Paul's never hurt, right?
And they didn't have a bench.
Look, they have no. If I'm Masai Ujiri, I'm calling Monty Masai. I will even call Monty Williams for you on your behalf. Call
every day.
I know, I look at the wrong camera. My bad. But look, every day you got to call Monty Williams. I think that's the.
They better hurry up because the Bucks want him.
I think Monty goes to Milwaukee.
The reports are saying they're trying to get him right now.
How funny would it be if Nick Nurse goes to Philly?
Oh, that's
I feel like that fits. Nick Nurse fits in Philly.
How funny
that
would that be?
That ego with like
that
the Philly
so much. I do not want that to happen. Please stop.
He's gonna have our number in the playoffs for sure. But I think he fits so well there in that Philly vibe with like Nick Nurse gonna have his merch like sold out. They're gonna have the all across Philadelphia. I can see that happening. But I also see him going to the Bucks just because of like I feel like that's his home turf as well, right? Like he's from the Midwest, Iowa. Mm-hmm. It kind of works out for him if he wants to. But I also think he's like. A lights in the face kind of guy, so I don't know.
It's been kind of weird that Nick Nurse hasn't got an interview yet, though.
This is what I was about to say. What's been very weird to me is it's been silence around Nick Nurse in terms of everything. Like
there's
in terms
not been
of
one
which,
thank you.
Which teams are interviewing him? Why none of the Raptors players have said any kind of thank you?
Yeah. Like, he hasn't even released a statement himself yet.
The only acknowledgement we got was Masai in that. Presser after the season.
Do you guys think that maybe Nick Nurse just maybe is telling teams like, hey, I want to just take like time off.
Yeah,
he
might,
like,
still,
I don't want to coach.
He's still involved in Canada basketball, so maybe he's just focusing on
he
that.
He wants to take a little bit of a breather,
He could have that coming up in the summer and then being like, maybe you want to take a year off and see what happens. Mm-hmm. But I think he'd also just be prioritizing that right now and then worrying about what's to come after that. I mean, we know he has nothing to worry about when it comes to money. Yeah. He'll be fine for a year or two. He can take a vacation if he wants to.
I think the Suns should take a look at him because they need to fix their defense.
And get Fred VanVleet, too.
Yeah, what if Fred goes over?
I would not be shocked. I would not be shocked if that happens. It might happen.
You want Chris
Paul? I don't
Ball
want
here?
It to, but you know.
Everybody wants Chris. Apparently, people want Chris Paul in Toronto now. I'm like,
Chris Paul's going to retire.
Really?
Yeah. I saw that. You said that yourself, Justin.
I didn't know. I said
Chris Paul.
No,
said
I
that
said.
Last episode.
I did not say that.
Am I getting like 2008 Chris Paul?
38
What
year
I
Chris
said
Ball.
Was this. Yeah. I said Fred VanVleet holds all the cards. If he wants to go to Phoenix, right, he will sign in Phoenix. If he wants to be nice to the Raptors, give a sign and trade. You might have to take a Chris Paul contract on to make that sign and trade work, right?
Yeah.
That's all I was saying. I don't want Chris Paul in the Raptors.
I know, but I'm saying, like, in terms of, like, other people that I've seen, you too, to be like, yeah, we could take Chris Paul in if you wanted to, but I'm like, you're really only benefiting the Suns then. So what's happening for us?
I mean, you could take, like, if you get a first-round pick from the Suns for that.
They don't have any left over anymore. The first round picks are gone. They traded four for Kevin Durant.
Back to back first round picks, so they could trade.
They have second round picks, but that's it.
But they could trade this. They could trade like another. Whatever they could, I'll figure it out. They probably trade some picks or something, but
I don't know. Justin's gonna have a look at the NBA trade machine.
Also, watch out with Ty Lue. Apparently, the Bucks are linked to him. I don't know what's going on.
I heard the Suns too, right?
I don't know.
Imagine that, Ty Lue and Phoenix.
It's gonna be interesting.
Nick Nurse and the Clippers.
NBA. Are you good?
Yeah.
Okay. The NBA playoffs aren't done yet. As you can tell, Justin can't even wait to talk about the next episode so far. But we're going to have so much more to talk about, because once the playoffs are over, that means the NBA free agency for players, for coaches, everything begins. And we'll be right here covering all the latest stuff, whether that be rumors, actual credible sources, or just stupid opinions that we might have. We'll see you guys later.
Canadian hoop fans, stand up and give yourself a round of applause. The WNBA was a smashing success in Toronto this weekend. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Hoop Talks. Justin Pooney with Jelani Goodridge-Reed, Noor Zainab, and the WNBA queen herself. One of the hosts of the weekend, actually, if you saw on social media, Karina Mustafa.
Wow.
That was a good intro, right?
Oh, thank you. I was wondering why I was going last. I was like, he went there, saving there.
The best for last. Because you were one of the official hosts for the WNBA this weekend. And as somebody who's seen you work so hard covering the WNBA on a day-to-day basis, great job, Karina. We're proud
absolutely
of you.
Wow.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Good stuff.
You never thought that was going to come from me, did you?
No.
No, you
I'm
didn't.
A little uncomfortable.
I was a witness to a great game on Saturday. I know, Noor, you were there as well. Jelani was watching on TV. The Chicago Sky faced off against the Minnesota Lynx. The game was secondary. The Sky won 82-74. But the biggest takeaway for me was, Karina, before I pass it off to you, because you were front and center at the practices, media availability, everything, and I really want you to really give us the full explanation of what the vibe was like around the arena. But and I was telling this to Noor and Jelani off camera as well. It was just, for me, it was so impressive, the vibe at the arena. All the young girls there, just the fan support from everybody. And it was loud in there. It was louder than a whole lot of Raptors games this season. And in some cases, the basketball was a lot better than the Raptors this year, too. But Karina, take the floor. Tell us from start to finish from this weekend's festivities and just what it meant to you, what it meant for Canada, and what it meant for the WNBA and the growth of basketball, especially women's basketball, in the country of Canada.
I think, well, thank you, Justin, first
no problem
of all. But I think the build-up to it was so well done that I wasn't sure what to expect for the game itself. Like, I wasn't sure. I knew it was sold out, but I was kind of, like, wondering, like, is Toronto going to show out the way that they do for, like, Raptors games? Mm-hmm. And I think they passed that test like with flying colors. I think everything was well done, like in terms of the marketing of the game here. Like, I'm sure you guys saw all the WNBA commercials on TV, all the events around the city. Like, it was a full 3-day thing that allowed fans, like, even if you weren't going to the game, you could go and participate in like the Nike activation stuff, the sign the sculpture downtown. Like, it was in different locations, like all these different things to get people excited about the game. I think was done so well. You could feel the city like humming with energy, and especially the fact that we had like good summer weather. I feel like that helped too, because summer in Toronto, as we all know, is a different vibe, and bringing basketball in the summer, which doesn't usually happen with the, you know, with the Raptors, if they lose in the playoffs or if they don't make the playoffs, like, you know, the only time it happened was when we won the championship, like when it was later in the summer.
We played once in June.
But
you're right,
depending on schedule. But so that to me was like the great vibe, 10 out of 10 vibes the entire weekend. I saw so many like little girls, little boys, like with going with their parents. I know a lot of girls that play basketball in Toronto, in Ontario, that were able to come and see. And something that was stressed in media availability too, something that Kalia Copper talked about, if you can see it, you can be it. And that was one of the things that she didn't have growing up. But now all these like Canadian girls who are gonna grow up to be in basketball, they saw it, so they can be it.
Noor, you saw at the games all the signs of like, bring the WNBA to Toronto, bring, you know, MLSC signed Becky Hammon
future
and stuff
like
that. Future season ticket holder. From your perspective being there, just how much was this a positive litmus test for potential expansion and just growing the women's game of basketball in Canada? Because it was I thought it was loud. People were in there. And I love the fact that there was families there. It wasn't priced out where people that, you know, they did, like, where I was sitting, there was families everywhere. There was little kids everywhere. Like, the fact that they priced it the right way to allow, you know, the true basketball fan there, that was a big positive, was it not?
I think, honestly, for me, the biggest takeaway from that was you can put stats to it. You can put numbers to it. You can make PowerPoint slideshows. You can do everything when it comes to making a team come here. But to showcase the actual fans that really want it, this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. You show them what's out there. You get a feel of the crowd. You see how it's sold out. The WNBA merch was almost sold out by halftime. We, Justin and I, were sitting there in the 300s, mind you, bought our ticket, and I'm watching people pour in, but it's, as you said, it was families, it was moms with their daughters, it was women having a girls' day, going out and watching, and it was, it just felt like a sea of women being there to support other women, and it felt amazing. It showed me that there's so much growth that we need to take over, because we can do it. The demand's there, the market's there, the fans are there, everything's there. We just need to get that resources now, and once you get that, like, it's, it showed us everything, right? You were there too.
Yeah, exactly. And Jelani, from a TV's perspective, I know the leading up to it, you saw the WNBA commercials, the promotion of it, watching on TV. I was all female broadcast as well. Just how important was the exposure through TV to promote this game, because we know TV revenue is such a big part in sports and sports business. How did you find that in the promotion of this game?
Yeah, no, it was great. It was great to see it, because you don't see it often, right? WNBA, you know, specific videos, commercials, ads, you don't see those all the time, right? But when I was watching it on the weekend, that was all that it was, you know, on TSN. It was, it's fantastic to me. And even in other commercials that weren't, you know, focused on the W, you even saw Kelsey Plum in a Google Pixel video ad. So that's something I like to see. And I also saw a lot of people talking about it, right? Because you guys were probably at the game, so you're focusing on the game. You're not always on your phone. I was on my phone throughout, and I was seeing a lot of people on Twitter talk about it. It was trending.
You're probably seeing the hashtag.
I saw your tweets. Trust me, I saw your tweets. I think I liked one. But also,
one.
I think I liked one too. Yeah,
one out of like.
Hey, it's better
30.
Than nothing. It's better than nothing. Yeah. But you know,
she was retweeting everything.
But hashtag WNBA. Hashtag WNBA Canada game. All these sort of things you saw, and it wasn't just women. Right, it was guys too, and that's another thing, right? A lot of guys. I think you guys gotta watch the games, man. I'm telling you, man, it's good basketball. Okay, so it's not just the NBA out here, right? So I think that there is definitely a demand here. For years, I think there was a demand. We just haven't had the opportunity, right? And I think this can be a stepping stone moving forward. We'll see what Kathy has in store. She said that Toronto's on the list. Please and thank you. But I really had fun watching it.
And we're going to go talk expansion in just 1 minute. I just want to get your thoughts on this, Karina, because we saw at the game, Masai Ujiri was there. Lou Dort was there. Serge Ibaka, who got a huge ovation from the crowd there with his daughter. How important was that for the exposure? Like, having these prominent figures in basketball promoting this event and showing support.
Well, I'll tell you, NBA players, NBA people, they love basketball in all different forms. They always will go to these games. And it's funny to me that people don't know that, because they really do. Like, it's something that I've spoken to Becky Hammon about in the last, like, several years, where she's like, these guys are, like, super into basketball. They'll go to anything. There's a lot of players that regularly go to WNBA games, but it's always funny to me when they get put, like, on the stage of, like, oh, look who's here. Like, this is so cool. Whereas, like, for them, it's probably just, like, another regular game.
Exactly. And like Jelani mentioned, WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert said Toronto's on a short list of 10 cities that the league is looking at to possibly expand to. This was a good quote from Nafisa Collier. She said, "You feel the buzz. We're on the streets and people are like, oh, you're here for the WNBA game. We're so excited. We're going to the game." Funny story. I'm at Cactus Club on Friday night having dinner.
Surprise.
Yeah, you're going to generally find me there. But there was, I believe it was part of the links. We're having dinner at the couple tables next to me, and people were recognizing them. People knew who they were. People were being respectful towards them. But I think the buzz around the city was huge. Like, we were
on my way over to work this morning. The radio had of all the talking about the WNBA games, talking about how it was sold out, the vibe in the city. And honestly, this is my one thing too. Like, if you give Toronto another summer team, Do you understand the marketing? Do you know how many people want to be out and watching sports in our summertime? It's going to be one of the biggest cities, I believe, in the W if we do get a team, just because of not just the crowd, not just the fan base, not just the resources, but the weather. You know, it's massive.
Karina, so I want to, again, ask you this question because you're tied into this like nobody else. Is MLSC the only option for ownership for the WNBA? And if so, do you see them playing at Scotiabank, or would they have to play at potentially the Coca-Cola Coliseum by exhibition? Because I think the average attendance is around, what, 5,000 or 5,600 last year? The Storm led the league in attendance with just over 10,000. Of course, this preseason game had over 19,000. Do you see, so again, I'll pose the question, MLSC is the only viable expansion option? And if so, where do they play?
So before I like talk about that, the reason the average like attendance is like that, it's because some markets get so many and some markets get so little, so that that number isn't
average,
really like, it's average, but it's not really indicative of like what it means to actually have successful attendance, because like there'd be a different reason for every market. But I think, and this is like my personal opinion, I don't think MLSC, well, this part's not my opinion, but MLSC is not the only ownership group that I think would be in the running to get a team here. I think MLSC should be the ownership
most
group that does
sense,
it in terms of like the resources they'd be able to offer on a consistent basis for this team to be successful over time. But I think they should play in Scotiabank Arena. I think this weekend showed you that you can sell out those crowds. This was a preseason game. Do you know who usually goes to preseason games? Nobody. Nobody.
It's true.
Like all the other arenas during this preseason this year were empty, but not Toronto, because we know that we want basketball. People will go. If the tickets are affordable, they will go. And so I think they should play in Scotiabank Arena. I would not settle for anything less than that. And I think it'd be workable because you don't have NBA or NHL during the summer.
And Noor, we always have this talk about the NBA, and John, I'll have you chime into this as well, that players don't want to come play in Toronto. People don't want to be in Toronto. But do you see that being a difference with the W, because there's so much more diversity in the W? There's so much more, you know, it's a different vibe than the NBA. It's a lot less toxic than the NBA.
I think even beyond that, though, I think there's just too much talent. Like, if you look around the W right now, all the teams are top-heavy like crazy, and it's because you only have, what, 11, 12 teams to be working off of. So even if you give us a team, I don't care if they want to come here or don't want to come here. They might have to come here because that's there's so much talent out there, right?
Today they're making all the roster cuts, and it's been a little bit.
You saw, like, even online, people talk about the cuts and how there's so many talented ladies that have to get cut and that have to ultimately play somewhere else, and they don't stay stateside. Or you know, I think having a team here would definitely be beneficial, or even having two teams, because I heard the plan is to not just bring one but have two teams. We'll see what happens with that. But like Natasha Cloud, she came out and said with the recent cuts with Washington, it was like, man, like, what are we doing here as a league? So we could see an opportunity here for definitely a lot of players saying, yeah, I would love to play in Toronto. It's another spot. It's a new spot. We could be, you know, the first squad to help this culture in Toronto with the W. I think it would be great.
And also, look, TV-wise, because, again, I think the W reached its 14-year high this year in viewership across the league. And I think, look, they have the resources here in Canada now with two big broadcasts that were simultaneously broadcasting the game at the same time. The resources are here to do it, right? It's now up to the people with the position of power to go out there and do it. And if anything, what we saw on Saturday was this would not only be good, but it would be a smashing success for here in Toronto. Because like you said, they're not just sports fans here. I know, I think Bridget Carlton said that, you know, we want to show that Canada's not a hockey country anymore.
Yeah.
I think that that perception should be gone, because I think Canada as a whole is now a sports nation. And I think we see all the Canadian talent in basketball now. And just the people come out and draw a lot, right? And I think, if anything, Saturday was smashing test. The WNBA should really, truly consider
it. Honestly, to me, too, like, I'm sure, Karina, for you as well, it goes the same kind of way where you as a woman, and love you guys too, you men, but like, just as a woman, it really felt like we were doing something for our future. It felt like a very defining moment to be like, we're women and people care about what we have to say, they watch what we have to say, and there's a market for us out there. So this could be a stepping stone, not just for the W, not just for women, but like other leagues, women in sports, women across the globe. So I think it works, it goes where even beyond that.
And I want to ask you three one last question. Again, I think the growth of the game at the youth level. And I was telling, I was with Noor at the game, and I was saying just how impressed I was the fact there's actually like girls basketball
they
clubs,
were field
youth,
trips.
Like,
yeah.
like
yeah.
youth girls yeah. basketball clubs in the GTA.
Yeah, I saw they were like youth 13.
And yeah, they're all yeah, wearing like their like whatever the different
Ontario
hoodies and stuff.
Ontario South, Ontario yeah. North, and like, things like that. Yeah.
How important was this game for those girls to see a professional path? Sorry, a pathway to be a professional basketball player and be a professional basketball player in your hometown.
It was so important. They were being interviewed. I saw a couple of them were being interviewed by like CP24 and like CTV and like all these news places. And you could just tell how much it meant to them. Like they're young, but they understand the magnitude of the moment. They were like, if I could, like literally, I know I said it before, if I can see it, I can be it. And that's Bridget true. Carleton, actually, she talked to us in media on Friday. She could not stop smiling, by the way, the whole time. She was like so at home. I loved it. Like her vibes are amazing this weekend. But she was saying, she was like, when I was younger, I didn't really like know that I could make it into the W because I wasn't seeing any like anything on the Canadian side. And so, and she decided pretty late to go professional in her career, like in her last year of college, that's when she decided she wanted to go pro. So she's like, if I had seen a Canadian game like this earlier, I probably would have been more inspired 100%. To go professional.
Yeah, and you don't see often, you don't see people you know, talk about the W. I think that's going to change for sure. I think the viewership will be up this season. That's going to be great. A lot of people in Canada want the team. I expect there to be one here very soon. We'll see again what Kathy does. But I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. I just couldn't go this weekend.
We could have the next Thubert in Toronto. And nobody had any idea until you get a team here, you know?
And it's great because, yeah, like Karina said, the players, right? When they were younger, they didn't see it. So now the future can see it.
Yep.
Final thoughts on the game?
Bring a team here. Bring it here right now. Bring it tomorrow. Bring it yesterday. It's too late already.
Bring a team to Toronto, and then we'll bring a team to Vancouver right after, and we'll create the best basketball rivalry in all Canada.
I'm proud of you for waiting till the end of the show.
You know if there's
that.
A team in Vancouver, I'll be sitting courtside every game.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, it was a smashing success for women's basketball and basketball in general across Canada, and we can't wait for the WNBA to return north of the border. This has been Hoop Talks.